Good morning. 35 minutes past the hour. You've got the Faith Radio Network. It's so great to have you with us today. Are you a happy mom, or do you struggle with feeling burned out, frustrated, downright exhausted? Or maybe you're a dad and you're concerned that your wife simply doesn't seem happy in her role as a mother. Well, joining us to offer some hope and practical help is author and speaker Arlene Pellicane, who was willing to get up really, really early in San Diego to join us. Good morning, Arlene. How are you?
Good morning. It is worth it to give a hug over the airwaves to those moms that might be feeling a little tired.
Well, we appreciate you grabbing some coffee and getting up early. Now, you were a big hit on Focus on the Family a few months ago, talking about your book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. And I'm guessing when that aired, you heard from friends all over the country.
You know, I get to get you guys the inside scoop. We taped it, but it doesn't air until Mother's Day. So around Mother's Day, that will air a Focus on the Family.
Okay, so you are, let's see, and let me get this straight then. You had one of your other
Yes, 31 Days to a Happy Husband. That one
aired.
In the year, and then it was also part of their Best of 2015 series, and it re-aired in December. And that's been a lot of fun, you know, seeing couples say, oh, wife saying, I do have a husband and I ought to dote on him just a tiny bit because we can forget to do that when we're so busy with the kids.
So you can hear the Happy Husband program on the Focus on the Family archives, the Happy Mom coming up on Mother's Day, just a couple of months away.
Great
timing on that. Now, Arlene, you share a lot of your own advice in this book, but you also interviewed several moms who are well known in the Christian community. Who did you talk to and what did you learn from them?
Yeah, it was so fun because my kids are younger. They're elementary school kids. So I got to interview people like Gwen Smith, who has teenagers, Kendra Smiley, who was an Illinois State Mother of the Year and is now a grandmother, Laura Petherbridge, who is a smart stepmom, and a host of others, Karen Eamon, who is a homeschooling mom and could bring that perspective, author of Keep It Shut. So it was really fun, and you're really learning several things and in several areas, but here's a few of them. One is keep the big picture in mind. Carol Ladd, the positive mom, she talked about one time she had to go to a movie and they were late. And so they ended up like in the front row. And of course, her head was, you know, cranked up and it was this action kind of movie. And it was like, this was a terrible experience. But they could tell they liked the movie. It was just a bad experience. So later, they saw the movie again, their family did. But this time, they kind of saw it, as she said, as a movie is supposed to be seen, kind of up in the stands where you could see it. And she talked about how motherhood is sometimes like that, where it is just larger than life right in front of you, and you're just like, this is a terrible ride. Mm. But if you would have that perspective of, how, you know, what is this moment like in the whole time that my child will actually be under my roof? And you have this perspective of, this is not going to be forever. And someday they're going to graduate out of my home. And someday they're going to be a fully functioning adult living in another address, you know. And then you realize, wait a minute, I've got a job here to do to train this child. So I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to be perseverant. And then I'm going to not bemoan having these children and this noise in my house. I'm going to say, someday this is going to be really quiet. And you know, I walked into someone's house that was an empty nester, and I was just struck with, your carpets are clean and your house is so neat, but you can hear a pin drop in here, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, I like my messy, loud house. I don't like having kids running around. So that perspective, I think, really helps moms to say, wait a minute, let me get some tools to make this better, and then let me have a better attitude about this.
So having the 30,000-foot view, right when we're in the thick of it, when we've, you know, got milk and Cheerios all over the floor, and we've got sibling rivalry and kids pounding on each other to say, okay, that's right now, but I have this role. I've got, you know, I'm fortunate, 18 years. Well, I guess in some cases now you might have 25 years because you've got all these kids.
Try for the 18. Try for the goal.
Yeah, well, that's our goal is 18, baby. Then off to college. But you do have a limited amount of time to influence your kids, and influence is probably one of the best words to use. You have in your book, you have this acronym, HAPPY, which illustrates five habits of the happy mom, and I'll just mention what they are. HAPPY stands for healthy, action-oriented, prayerful, perseverant, and yes-filled. Let's spend a few minutes unpacking each of those habits, Arlene.
It's the idea of being healthy, you know, physically healthy, but also emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy. If you're married, your marriage is healthy. And it's that whole idea of, okay, mom, put on your oxygen mask before you assist your children. So many times the moms will run around. They'll do 1,000 things for their kids. Meanwhile, they're like, well, I haven't exercised in about 3 years. You know, and I'm surviving on fast food and convenience food. And this idea of, okay, wait a minute, I've got to build some healthy habits in my life, starting with a good night's sleep, starting with spending time with God, doing things that are fun for me, all those things. And so for that mom to give herself permission. But I share a humorous story in the book, and I will just give you the glimpse. But the gist of it is that when my son was 5 years old, he got an entire bag of Oreos, peppermint Oreos, for Christmas from his cousin. And I hid them from him, telling him, I'll just give you a few because, honey, these are very unhealthy for you. And as a result, I ended up eating through the bag because we don't usually have those poisonous, terrible Oreos, wicked Oreos in the house. So my son, 5 years old, never asked for them because he's very good. He's really, he is a savorer. He likes to wait. And so he waited a long time. And so one after one, I just kept eating him, thinking he'll never know. On Valentine's Day, he says to me, Mom, I'd like to have an Oreo, please. And I say, I ate the whole bag. And he looked at me with such betrayal, you know, Mom, you ate the whole bag. And I said, I'm so sorry. So made restitution, got him another bag, did not touch that Oreo. But it just goes to prove you can have all the good intentions in the world, but if that food or whatever that is that's making you unhealthy is right there, you will fall prey to it. And so it's the idea of building accountability into your life. If you know you're struggling in an area, get a person in there to keep you accountable. Put money into whatever it is, whether it's going to counseling, whether it's going to a personal trainer, signing up for the gym, you know, getting an eating plan. Get people involved, spend a few dollars, because on our own devices, it's very hard to get healthy on your own.
Oh, boy, you are not kidding. I was in the pantry yesterday searching for something, and I just should have gone for the celery, Arlene. Okay, action-oriented, and I'm assuming that has to do with things like discipline and directing your kids, not just letting them rule the roost.
Because mothers today are like, I'm so angry because I have to tell my child this 500 times, and you know, I'm always reminding them. And the thing is, we as moms, we're so good at talking, lecturing, promising, nagging, but we're not as good at acting swiftly and just, instead of getting emotional about it, just saying, oh, look, you didn't do your homework. Well, I guess you'll have extra chores this weekend. You know, end of discussion. And, right. And we love to discuss and negotiate and talk. And I love John Rosemond. He's a psychologist, and he was interviewed for my book. And he said, you know, the grandmother, think of your grandmother. She would have said to your mother, pick up your room. That's it. What do we do today, honey? We're going to have some people over in about an hour. And if our house could look nice, don't you think it'd be a good idea? So if you could help mommy, could you please get these toys and put them in this box? It would be so helpful. Can you do that for mommy? You know, your 3-year-old's like, no, I can't do that for mommy. And you come back half an hour later. Oh, I see you haven't done it. Well, let's play a game. I'll put something in, then you put something, you know, and this is how we approach all the things that need to be done. And so to realize, my goodness, what am I doing? And instead of being so wordy, how can I simply, you know, have whatever it is you're trying to get your child to do, use the fewest words possible. And then when your child does not do those things, then there's a consequence. There's an action that comes, not another lecture. Because kids, little kids, do not respond to lectures. You don't have to explain to your toddler why they must get dressed in the morning. Now, those explanations and talking, that all comes when they're teenagers. Then you can reason and talk, and that's important. But when they're little, too many moms are negotiating with their kids instead of just telling them what to do. And you'll notice that moms, there are voices, they go up in a question. We're going to go get in the car. Okay. If you listen
no,
to yourself,
I'm not.
You're asking,
I'm playing a video game right now.
Okay,
I'm not getting in the car.
That's right. So statements, mom, actions and statements. Make your kids say, whoa, she really meant it this time, and make them say that over and over again.
I know that you believe prayer is so essential to happiness in motherhood, isn't it, Arlene?
It is the thing to do when you are looking at that child and you say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. Please help me. That popcorn prayer shooting up to God, that's going to make a huge difference in your life. And I think what I've seen, you know, we've become so busy, right? As a mom, you think, well, I can't pray. I'm too busy. And one of the people I interviewed, Karen Eamon, she homeschooled, and she'd remember her counterparts that had kids that went to public school all day would say, oh, I just did my Bible study, and I'm praying. And she'd think, how do you have time for that? You know, I do that between wipes and bites and slurps and gulps. And she found that the prayer time for a mom may not look like this, wow, you know, sun streaming into the window kind of time and sitting there listening to God. But it was 5 minutes in the morning, and it was listening to the Bible in the car for 5 minutes. And when she washed dishes, it was memorizing a verse. And then at the end of the day, it was, okay, Lord, how do we do? You know, and it's just this idea that we can't put our prayer life on the shelf just because we're busy moms. And the other thing I think we face is electronics, that what happens when our kid has a cold, what do? We Google 3-day mucus. What do I do? and there's nothing wrong with that. But what we've done is we forget praying altogether, and we just find all our answers. All we have to do is type in our question, and then Google will tell us what to do next. You know, whether it's about our child's education, whether it's about what school should they go to, they're sick, you know, I'm having this attention problem, and we just put in the question and it tells us what to do. And again, there's nothing wrong, but there's something wrong if that's all we do. And we went to Google and we didn't go to God. So I always love to encourage moms go to God first and Google it second, but bring it before God. The divine can help you more than this data can help you.
Yeah, so Microsoft.
Turn to God first.
Wow. Okay. Perseverance is another key habit that a mom has to have, and it can be a long, grinding road sometimes, can't it?
Yeah, it sure can. So have that idea that, you know what, I have thick skin, I am tough, and I'm going to get there. Because sometimes moms will say, well, I didn't let him do that because he called me a mean mom, and I don't want him to not like me. And she may not express that, but that's what she's thinking in her mind. You know, I gave in because I don't want to be unpopular with my kids. I want them to like me. And for us as moms, we've got to say, I can be the bad guy. I can persevere. I can outlast. I can take these, you know, verbal assaults from my children and my teenagers because I know what's best for them, and I will stick to it. So it's that idea that, you know, you are Rocky Balboa and you're going to keep on going and keep on going. You're going to outlast these kids against all odds. And the other thought is that you are raising not just a child, but you're raising a future adult. Because if I'm raising a child, hey, let's have Cheetos and soda pop and, you know, pizza every day, all day, because that really makes them happy. But you realize, wow, if I treat my child like that every day, all day, when they get about 30, that's going to hit them like a freight train. That's not going to work so well for them.
Let's hope it hits before they're 30, Arlene. Yes, oh, my gosh.
Exactly. So you're raising an adult, not a child. And it helps you have that, as we talked about earlier, long haul view that makes you say, I can do this today because I'm preparing them for a better tomorrow.
I remember when I was working with parents at a clinic, low-income parents at a clinic in Southern California, and I would often say to them, and they had a really hard time, many of these moms, with single moms typically, with several children, dads were not in the picture, and they had other issues too. But one of the things I would always tell them, that if you don't parent your kids now, the police and the courts are going to be parenting them in just a few years from now. And unfortunately, that was the case in many of these families. And so it's, boy, you just got to hang in there. And if you're a pushover parent, if you're letting your kids rule the roost and make the rules, and you're worried about they don't like me or I'm not their best buddy, and especially single moms, boy, who don't have that support. And I'm guessing you address this in the book as well. If you don't have a partner, you don't have somebody to turn to for emotional support, for crying out loud, don't turn to your 8-year-old. Because if your 8-year-old becomes your emotional confidant, you're not going to be very likely to set rules and boundaries with her, correct?
That's absolutely right. It's so important for single moms, single dads, to have that support system outside of your children, to have a friend that you go out with regularly or that you talk on the phone with regularly that can hold your hand and get you through things, and for your child not to be that person.
Okay, the final letter in your acronym, HAPPY, is yes-filled. And I'm guessing what you're saying there, Arlene, is that you want to be a mom that says yes more often than you say no.
And it's the idea that we can think, oh, as a mom, I can't do this. I can't do that. I used to be able to do that. Now I can't, you know, I can't do anything past 8:30 at night anymore. So it's like you think it's a big no. But instead to put that emphasis on, well, what are the yeses while I am a mother? What are the things I can pour my heart into? What are the things that I can look forward to, that I enjoy, that I can put on my calendar? You know, I met a mom at a playground, and we just struck up a conversation. And I asked, well, what do you like to do? And she just lit up, and she said, I love to play volleyball. I used to play competitively. And I said, oh, well, do you play now? And her face totally fell, and she said, oh, I haven't played since I had kids. You know, her kids were like 3 and 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, you should play. And those are the yeses I'm referring to also, is that there are some yeses that you need to say, I'm going to make time for that because that's going to make me a happier person, and that's going to make me a happier mom for my kids. And that would be good for kids to see, oh, look, my mom has an interest, you know, that's not just serving me. And so that is a healthy and okay thing for mom to do. Say yes to service projects as a family. My family just, we heard of another family that was going to Tijuana that were going to serve in the dump. And that was something that they said, you know, children should not go to that. But they said, we need help making sandwiches. So my kids spread mayonnaise and did 200 sandwiches. Now, that was a service project we could do. And that was really fun to do together and talk about. So say yes to things that are healthy for your family. And also say yes to mommy liberation, which means sometimes we moms, we engineer too much dependence. And we just need to say, honey, to our children, you can do this yourself. So say yes to that.